sixth chapter of the book of Romans, and we'll stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. I'm going to read but one verse of scripture, and that is the last verse, verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I sure thank you again for the Bible, the word of God. Thank you for this wonderful verse of scripture, Father, that we just had the privilege of reading. How wonderful truth, Lord, that you've given us there. And this morning, we just need your power, need your wisdom as we preach. I pray, Father, for all of the other activities that's going on, all the other services that's being held during this time, children's churches. And I pray your blessings and power be upon them. And Father, here in this auditorium, we need your power. Father, we need your wisdom. We need you to do that which would honor and glorify your name. So we pray this morning for that. Ask you, God, to do what needs to be done in all of our hearts. We'll thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Bible gives us a wonderful verse of scripture here that has come to mean a lot to me, and I'm sure to anybody that is saved. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I illustrate that a lot of times. It's probably not necessary maybe for some of you adults, but maybe the younger people might help them to understand. When we talk about eternal life, there's only one way you can receive it. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to live forever. I want to live forever with God, don't you? And he talks about eternal life is a gift given to us. What a blessed gift it is, the greatest gift that has ever been given. And if you'll notice, he says eternal life is given through Jesus Christ our Lord. I illustrate that by putting a track in my Bible and saying, let's just say that's eternal life. That represents eternal life. Let's put it here in the Bible, and this is Jesus Christ. It's his word. The only way you can get eternal life is by receiving Jesus Christ. Eternal life comes along with it. When you receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you receive eternal life. You'll live forever in heaven with God. Isn't that wonderful? So the whole question is have you received Jesus Christ? If you've received him, then you have eternal life. If you have not received him as your own personal Savior, you do not have eternal life. And there's only one way you can get it. It's not through being a good church member. It's not even through baptism, although that's a wonderful thing. It's not through being a good worker and a good server. It's not through being a good neighbor and being good to people. It's through receiving Jesus Christ. It's the only way that we can ever receive eternal life is to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And when we've done that, we have the wonderful gift of God, which is eternal life. This morning, I'm going to preach a message which I have called Time and Eternity. Time and Eternity. It's a simple message. Most of my messages are. I'm a simple person. And the Word of God is meant to be simple. Understanding. So we can understand the truths of God's Word. But we're going to preach the message on time and eternity. First of all, I just want to make a statement. I think you'll agree with this. The first statement I'm going to make is, life is short. Amen. I think most folk will understand it. We was out here working around the church yesterday, out putting wallboard up, and I think it was Justin. Justin. He was out there working and helping us, you know, and some of the guys, of course, they like to take the young men and kind of tease them around and things like that, you know, and he just sits there and smiles at them as he's teasing them. We was talking about getting older and all that, and he's just still smiling. Old age don't mean much to Justin, not now. See, it don't mean a thing to him right now. But he's just smiling on, hearing us all talk about our aches and pains and how the time is going by fast and all these things, you know. And he's just smiling. Right now, it didn't hit him yet. But it will, won't it, Brother Tommy? Yeah, it'll hit him one of these days. Amen. It's gonna hit us. But life is short. There's no doubt about that. You see, Life is, the Bible says, like a vapor. It's kind of like you've seen a tea kettle. We have a tea kettle at home. I don't know whether you do or not, but Donna likes tea real well. And there's a tea kettle sitting there on our stove most of the time. Amen. And she likes that tea. And there's just a vapor going up off that tea kettle, you know, and just goes up a little ways and it just disappears. That's what God said life is. Life is just like that, like a vapor that appears for a little time and then passes away. Amen. Just short. That's life. The Bible also tells us in the book of Job, the seventh chapter, that it's like a weaver's shuttle. You take a weaver's shuttle, the person working that shuttle hits the lever and it shoots fast across and back very quickly. And God said, that's the way life is. It just passes on. I really am sure of just yesterday I was a teenager. It just feels like it. I mean, it just don't feel like I ought to be 60. That ought to be my dad's age. And it just seems like that. You know, time just passes on so quickly. I want to give you a few people in my life that passed away very quickly. Leon Thomas. I don't imagine any of you know Leon Thomas. This happened way back when I worked at Anticon Aluminum Company at Terre Haute before I was saved. But Leon Thomas was a young man. He was a well-built young man, sturdy young man, nice-looking young man. And he was, I would say, in his early 20s. And Leon came to work, of course, and we didn't actually work together, but we saw each other every day. And one day on the way home, they stopped at a friend's house. And he was sitting there in his friend's house and just talking after, and there was a group of them. They'd rode in a car together, and there was a group, and they stopped there and for a few minutes. And he was just sitting there, and all at once his head just popped back against his chair, and he was gone. Just gone. Had a heart attack. He's just gone. I mean, just like that. Just a young man, and he was gone. I remember another man over at Anaconda Aluminum Company when I worked there. I run a rolling mill. It's called number 16 rolling mill, right along the aisleway of where everybody went out to go out to the cars, out to the parking lot. So when I was like on second shift and something like that, I'd see these guys and they'd wave to me, you know, as they went by. And Dale went by that day and he waved to me like this, you know, and I waved back at him as we always did. He was heading home and he rode a motorcycle. He had a motorcycle. And I come in the next day and heard that Dale got killed on the way home on a motorcycle. He was dead, gone. Life is very, very short. I remember another man over there. He was probably around my age. I was a little bit younger in those days, but he was around my age. And he was working. He was a mechanic. And he was working up high, up in an area around a crane. And he'd come down, and I just happened to go by there. About the time he'd come down, he got him something cold to drink, and I spoke to him just a moment. His name was Chuck Wheat. And I spoke to him just a moment. I said, "How you doing, Chuck?" He said, oh, okay, so I'm kind of hot. And within the hour, he was taken to the hospital, and he died of a heart attack. He was just gone. Just short. Life is so short. You just never know. I remember when I was a boy, I remember a young man, and he was our neighbor just up the road, our closest neighbor. His name was Nichols. Their names was Nichols, and his name was Stanley. And we got the word. I remember being in school, and I remember the people coming and getting the two sisters, his two sisters, and also a brother, and getting them out of school. And we were all wondering what in the world was going on, and found out a little later, though, that Stanley had went across the railroad track. I could take you to that place right now where it's at. You're real close to Fillmore, Indiana there, just out east of Fillmore. And he pulled across and got hit by a train. Just a young man. I think he just graduated from high school, as I remember, if I remember right. Just graduated from high school. I remember another, and this was when the boys and our daughter, of course, was at home. We lived in Brazil, Indiana, and we knew some people there. The boy's name was Bobby. I won't mention the last name, it's been too close, but anyway, his name was Bobby, and we just heard here a few years back here afterwards, him and a young lady was out in a car, listen to this, parked out in a car, doing wrong things. carbon monoxide got into the car and killed them both. Just young boy and girl. I remember, and many of you will remember this. You remember Brian Simpson. Many of you remember Brian. We was in a meeting downstairs. I can't even remember what the meeting was about. I have a slight idea, but we was in a meeting downstairs. I can take you right and show you right where that meeting was at. I went and answered the phone, and it was one of the Simpson family said, Brian's been killed in a wreck just outside of Shackamack Curve out here. I can take you and show you the tree. Many of you go by there, probably think about it, don't you? I do. Think about it. Brian Simpson died in a car wreck. He was one of the people of our church at that time. Just young, gone. Just like that. My my niece, Sheila, was getting married, and they had asked me to marry them. This is my sister Virgine's daughter, one of her daughters. She has three daughters, and Sheila was getting married, and they'd asked me to marry them, and so they came up here, drove all the way from Greencastle, came on up here and met with me, and we was meeting in our office, and I was counseling with them, having a sessions of counseling, come to salvation, talking about salvation. Dale wasn't saved. She was getting ready to marry an unsaved fellow. And so anyway, over time, make a long story short, over time, we was able to take the scriptures and show Dale the way of salvation. And Dale wonderfully accepted Christ as his Savior. 2 weeks later, they were married. It's about in that area, and we went down to Greencastle and the church there. In fact, the church is in Fillmore, but why am I calling Greencastle? I don't want to talk about Greencastle. I want to talk about Fillmore. Oh, but anyway, I went into the church there and married him and all that. Everything was so good, you know, and so wonderful and happy. You know how that is. Exactly 2 weeks after they was married, he was coming home from work, and I have a feeling he was probably hurrying home as a young husband, wanting to get home. And there's I could again take you to that very railroad crossing, and it went up very steep, kind of like this, and up and over, and it was gravel as you went up. And he went up and didn't see the train and was killed. He'd been saved a month. Dale McAuliffe was his name. He'd been saved 1 month. And Sheila came to me afterwards, after the funeral, after she got over a little bit of it. She just couldn't hardly get over it. But she thanked me again for seeing to it that Dale accepted Christ as his Savior. He'd been saved a month and he was dead. Now, what I'm simply saying to you folks is, I don't know who's going to die this week. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to make you think maybe you're the next one. I'm not trying to say anything like that. All I'm trying to say is there's not a one of us in this room knows whether we'll be alive tonight or not. Because that's all in God's hands. That's His business. But I want to tell you something. No matter how long you live, Methuselah lived 969 years, and it was short. Lived a lot of years, but it was just short. Some of you probably recognize, some of you might not, but there was what we call, if there is such a thing as a famous atheist, if we would call a famous atheist, Thomas Paine was one. And he was a man that came to the end of his life not believing. He wrote the book, The Age of Reason, and of course given forth his beliefs, and he was an atheist and all of this, and came to the end of his life, and here's what he said: I would give worlds if I had not written The Age of Reason. This is what he did on his deathbed. He said, Oh Lord, help me. Oh Christ, help me. Someone stay with me, for God's sake. I'm so lonely. Even if you send a little child to sit with me, it is terrible to be alone. And then he said this: if the devil ever had an agent, I am that one. See, to die without Christ is a horrible thing. It's horrible to die young. In our eyes it is, but to die without Christ is a horrible, horrible thing. You hear your preacher get up here and preach, and you get so used to it. You get so used to hearing the gospel that you kind of pass it off sometimes, I believe. We just get used to that. We get used to hearing it. But young people don't get used to hearing the gospel. There's coming a day when you, like these and other individuals, is going to come to the end of your life. And above all, you want to make sure you've received Jesus Christ so that you can have the gift of eternal life. Judson said, that missionary Judson said, "I go with the gladness of a boy abounding away from school. I feel so strong in Christ." It's the whole difference. It's the whole difference between being saved and not saved. Catherine Booth said this, "The waters are rising, but so am I. I'm not going under, but I'm going over." See, boy, there's a difference when you're saved. Amen. Old General Stonewall Jackson said this. He said, "I'm just going to cross over the river there and rest beneath the tree on the other side," as he was dying. All the difference in the world between someone who knows Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and one who doesn't. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Amen. Die is gain, he said. It's all right if I die. It's gain to me. I still remember very vividly, and I think I've shared it with you. I'll share it a little bit with you, because there's sometimes people out here that's never heard some of the things I've said. Most of you've heard it. But I remember the day my daddy died. I remember across the hall for 2 days there was a man unsaved that literally screamed and cried and screamed out because he was not saved and he was dying. And the nurse came out of his room one day and turned around to him and said, "If you just had God in your life, you wouldn't be like this." You could see she was frustrated and didn't know what to do, and he was not interested in God and sat and screamed for 2 days before he died. I also remember in a room across the hall lay my daddy. You never heard a complaint out of my dad. He was in a lot of pain. You never heard him complain. I was there with him that night when in the morning he passed away, and that night I went up on the second, after I got off on the second shift from Anaconda and went, drove to Indianapolis and was with him. We always kept somebody with him. Mom went home to get a little rest or to my brother's house. And he was having a hard time. And there was one time he was trying to get out of bed because he was in such pain. His heart was going. It was very bad. He had a lot of things wrong with him. And he was trying to get out of bed, and I put my arms around him and just kind of held him in bed. And he looked up at me and he said, "Son, I'm sorry I'm so much trouble." I said, "Dad, you're not trouble. You sure not trouble." And that next morning, he was getting pretty bad, and I called Mom and my brothers, and they got out there in time to see him before he went. But what I'm saying is, Christians die different. And you want to be a Christian when you die. There's a difference. Somebody, I forgot to announce this, so this would be a good time to tell you. Many of you know, some of you don't, but many of you know Wilma Canada. It used to be Wilma Canada. I think after Roy died, she remarried a man by the name of Sullivan, and he didn't live very long. But Wilma is very, very bad in the hospital, regional hospital at Terre Haute. And she wants your prayers. She's asked for your prayers and for you to pray for her. She's very, very ill, very, very sick. But she remembered back to the funeral of Roy. And she mentioned that yesterday when Donna and I went to see her. The family had requested we come. We went over last evening to see her. And she mentioned the fact about Roy's funeral. She said, "Oh, Brother Ross, I so appreciate that." And said, "Roy died with peace in his heart, and it was just so wonderful," said the girls, "and I've talked about it since then." I want to tell you something. It's easier to preach a Christian's funeral. Don't you do me that away. Don't you make me preach your funeral and me not know for sure you're saved, that you don't even have a testimony of salvation. Don't do that. This preacher don't like that. That's tough. Amen. But even though I miss them, it's pretty easy to preach a Christian's funeral. You don't want them to go. You want to see them, but I want to tell you it's a lot easier to do that. Just tell them how much heaven's going to mean and all of those kind of things. This week, my aunt passed away, 89 years old, I think it was. About 89 years old. She passed away. She's the one about 3 years ago that got saved when I preached her husband's funeral, my uncle's funeral. She got saved. We was in the funeral home, and I was preaching, gave an invitation. I said, now, you know, after I explained it all, I said, you repeat after me if you really mean serious business. I went all through that, didn't make it lightly, and I said, she just began to pray out loud. She repeated it right out loud. The whole funeral home heard it. And she was saved. So when her funeral come, wasn't hard. Wasn't hard to go up there and look at her face and really get very sorrowful. She's in heaven. What I'm saying to you is this, be ready. Be ready to meet your God. Above all, be ready, you see, because life is short. She lived 89 years, but life is short, you see. I remember all of those times, and I realize more than more, as some of you will agree with me, life goes by fast. Amen. But let me share with you another point. Eternity is long. Amen. Eternity is long. I don't think there is a good way. I've thought about this down through the years, been preaching for 30 years, and I've thought about this a lot of times. How do you describe eternity? I haven't found a good way. There's no way to describe something that never ends. But I read one time about the guy tried his best to give a good illustration, and he said, if the world was a steel ball, and he said a bird would come once a year and sharpen its beak on that steel ball, he said, when it was all worn down, it'd just be the beginning of eternity. And that's probably not a very good illustration. Another man said, well, I'll tell you what a good illustration is this. If a bird would go over to the Atlantic Ocean once a day, and when he finally had emptied the Atlantic Ocean, it'd just be the beginning of eternity. And you know, you think about all of those things, but you know what? You can't really illustrate eternity. Because it's forever. And it never ends. A saved man in eternity looks around heaven and simply says, boy, this is beautiful. This is wonderful. We won't be asking that, but if we would ask, how long is it going to last? We'd probably go over and find Paul, and he'd say, oh, what the Bible said, what God says, is we would be with the Lord forever. So forever is forever. Never ending. We might find Peter, and this is what Peter wrote according to the Holy Spirit of God directing him. This inheritance will never, never fade away. I mean, it's yours forever. And of course, Jesus said, I give unto you eternal life. See, so the saved person in heaven does not ever have to worry about an ending. It's forever and ever. But I'm sure on the other side of that, an unsaved person would find himself in hell, lifting up his eyes in hell, tormented in the flames, wondering, is it ever going to end? A year go by, 2 years go by, 5 years go by, 100 years go by, 1,000 years go by, and 10,000 years go by, and there's no ending to it. It just goes on forever and ever and ever. I just want you to understand that eternity is long. Let me say to you also that sin is horrible. There isn't one person on the face of this earth that is not contaminated with sin. Every person has ever been born onto this earth except Jesus Christ is born into sin. Every single one of us is in that condition. You may find a lot of different people in this world. You may find white folk, black folk, red folk, brown folk, yellow folk. You may find all of those, but you might find one folk that's not a sinner. And that means you. That means me. Everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want you to remember something. All sin is rebellion against God Almighty. We took time this morning to teach a lesson in our Sunday school. We came to the end of Proverbs, and we taught one lesson this morning on rebellion. You get in, you dig into that thing, and rebellion is so serious. It's a horrible thing. And sin is rebellion against God Almighty. And the only thing that can take care of that is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you see. You see, it's the damning sin that sends people to hell, is unbelief. Unbelief is what does it. You can name all of the sins in all of the world, but it's unbelief that sends people to an eternity without God, you see. You know, if we'd go through hell and we'd ask all the people there, we'd ask all those that are already there, they'd have to say one thing: I'm here because I disbelieved. They may have been murderers, they may have been all kinds of different people who sinned all kinds of different sins, but the one sin that sent them there was disbelief in Jesus Christ. So what is the remedy for sin? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the remedy. There isn't any other. You must be washed in the blood. You must be cleansed. There was a World's Fair held years and years and years ago up in Chicago, and they had what they called a Congress of Religion. And they met there, and they had the different people from different religions come and speak. One of them who came was represented Mohammedism. He come and he spake of the beauties of his religion. Another man came, Confucianist, came and he spoke on the great teachings of his religion. Another man came who represented Buddhism, and he spoke on the virtues of his religion. And then it came time, and Joseph Cook got up to speak for Christianity. And he got up and he did not speak on the beauties of Christianity. But what he spoke on was this: how sin had ruined mankind. And he turned to those who were sitting on the platform with him and said, "Do you have an answer for sin?" And there wasn't a one of them that could stand and say, "Yes, we have an answer for sin." Well, he said, "Christianity does. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. That is the answer for sin." Let me tell you, not only is sin horrible, but hell is certain. Remember this, there is a hell. No matter what anybody tells you, there is a hell. No matter who mocks at it and makes fun of it and laughs at it, there absolutely is a hell, because God said there is. I know the liberals do not believe in hell, but there still is a hell, because the Word of God says so. Hell is a place, no doubt it's a burning place, and it's complete separation from God forever and ever and ever. I can't imagine anybody wanting to be there. I can't imagine that. Hell is real. We want to believe about heaven, but we don't so much want to believe about hell. But hell is just as real as heaven. In fact, the Bible tells us, and we studied this in our book of Revelation last Wednesday night. We looked over this. We find out it's a place where there's the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the adulterers, and the liars. That's who's in hell. And along with that, some other good crew: Satan and the beast and the false prophet. Why would anybody want to go there? Why would anybody take a chance of spending an eternity in a place like that? Well, I've got good news for you. You don't have to. Yes, life is short. Eternity is long. Sin is horrible. Hell is real. But thank God, so is heaven. You see, heaven can be yours. Eternal life, you get it through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You get it by putting your faith and trust in Him, completely and fully in Him. You know, I imagine we're sitting here today, some of your loved ones are already in heaven. That's a wonderful thing. I just seen an aunt go on. She's in heaven. My mom and daddy is gone. Two of my brothers, we was out of a family of nine. Three of my brothers is gone. One died at a right after he's born. Two of my older brothers is gone, already gone. Professed Christ as our Savior. Whew. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad. I'm sure thankful for salvation. I'm sure thankful for eternal life. And I'm sure thankful for a place called heaven. Amen. Somebody stood at the funeral the other day, and the nephew Selma looked up and said, "Well," said, "I'll see you again." As he went by, he said, "I'll see you again. Amen. I'll see you again." Phew. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. Heaven is real. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." And He's the only way. He's the only truth, and He's the only life. Should you be here this morning without Jesus Christ, let me tell you, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And first of all, it's that you get saved, that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There was a little girl one time that lived in foster homes and all kinds of homes and had really had a very difficult life. And there was a couple who had adopted her. And they came and got her and took her home for the very first time and took her around showing her the whole place. They took her through the house and showed her all these big rooms that they had, and over to the closet and opened it up, and they just had it filled with little dresses and clothes for that little girl. Said, "Them are all yours." Amen. So they took her downstairs that night right before they got ready to go to bed, and they said, "Come on down, we'll have a snack." She said, "What's a snack?" I said, "Come on, we'll show you." So we went downstairs, and they had some cookies there, and they had a big old glass of milk sitting there. She said it was the biggest glass of milk she'd ever seen in her life. And so she looked at that and said, "How deep can I drink?" And they said, "Honey, you drink as deep as you want to drink. Where that came from, there's plenty more." And Jesus is saying to us, just drink as deep as you want to drink. Where that came from, there's plenty more. You see, heaven is real, folks. We get caught up and we get lost in this old world's busyness and troubles and heartaches, and we forget that there is a day when it's all going to end and we're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And you can drink as deep as you want to drink, for God's got everything that you need, and He's given you eternal life to enjoy it in. Amen. Folks, life is short, very, very short, and eternity is very, very long. It's forever. Be sure you know where you're going to spend it. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. As we preach this simple message, we just want to ask you a question. We just want to ask you, if you died today, do you know 100% sure that you would go to heaven? Are you sure if you died right this moment that you would go to heaven? You say, "Yes, Pastor Ross, I know I am." Would you just lift your hand? Say, "I know, I'm going to heaven. I've accepted Christ as my Savior." Thank you. You can put your hand down. Say, "Pastor Ross, no, I could not lift my hand. I'm not real sure that I'm ready for heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me?" Would you just lift your hand, please? Say, "Brother Ross, I'm concerned about heaven. I'm not real sure if I'm saved or not." Would you just raise your hand, please? Heavenly Father, I thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for the life you do give us. I'm very thankful also for the eternal life you've promised us in Jesus Christ our Lord. And once again, I ask that the will of God be done this morning in every single heart present here today. Lord, you deal. You do what needs to be done in all of our hearts. Work that out according to your plan. And Lord, we know that if there's anyone here without Christ, it is the will of God that they be saved. And I would pray for that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.